That's the same as Chitta.
Chitta is the, more or less the same. But this is supposed to be the seed, and Chitta is the tree, is the plant. There's not much of a difference between the seed and the sprout. There's not much of a difference between the seed and the sprout. In order that we may not commit this error of, is that so? You know, the acid trips. Is that so? I'm thinking I'm a man, and so I'm a man. Now I'm going to think I'm a woman. I don't become a woman. Why is it so? It's superficial. I've not gone to this part, the root. That's the reason why they distinguish between the seed and the sprout. Chitta is the sprout. The mind is the sprout. What is the seed for that sprout? Vasana is the seed for that sprout. And what is vasana? The thing that is the notion, the concept, or the self-limiting idea that is built into every cell of that body. The notion or the idea that is built into every cell of that body. And which again is animated by prana. These two together, therefore, give rise to chitta, the mind. You know, it's important to understand this clearly, because quite a lot of what goes under the name of positive thinking proves to be ineffective because of that. We think that we think what we think we think. And then we wonder why all that positive thinking hasn't worked. We have not been thinking at all. We only think that we think. Thinking probably takes place at that level, at the level of vasana, at the level of the reality or the consciousness or the intelligence that fills every cell of your body. In other words, are you able to think at that level, at the cell level? No. It's a terribly superficial affair. Our thinking is extremely superficial. And therefore it is not able to produce any real effect at all. So I must go right down to the grassroots and bring about a change there. Incidentally, one thing more. Incidentally, the ego sensor, I, ahankara, is one of the thoughts that arise in chitta. So it's twice removed. Therefore, in order to bring about a total revolution or change, I must go over the fence called ego sense, dive through this chitta, come right down to this vasana and change it there.
My question was how, and then it's selfless service.
Yeah, that will we'll come to that. Yeah. So that is the microcosm. The macrocosm is the whole lot, consciousness, energy, and the movement of energy in consciousness is the macrocosm, the whole universe, and a cell, as it were, a particle of energy in this macrocosm, entertaining a self-limiting notion, this is I, becomes you and me. The individual, microcosm. Non-different, inseparable from the macrocosm, inseparable from the cosmos, but apparently functioning as if independent. One thing more about this prana before we come down to the individual level. Prana is energy, and one can see, its various functions. At the cosmic level, it may be the force of gravitation. At the cosmic level. And I wonder if you also see that it is only with our own finite mind which is fond of division that we are seeing that the world, that the stars, the planets are kept together by a force of gravitation pull. In the cosmos itself, probably there is no such force. Probably there is no such power. It is just one, pure one, pure oneness. For instance, when you walk, your arm also comes with you. It's because it's one. It's one with you. There is no force pulling it together and keeping it, you know, glued to your shoulder. We have some ideas, some funny ideas. So, looking at the cosmos from our own preconceived ideas or notions, one can say that the force of gravitation at work in the cosmos is a manifestation of prana. And on a closer level, electromagnetism is also prana. The energy, the inherent in substances, in physical substances, that's also prana. And in sentient beings, in which probably we can include not only the human and the animal, but also the plant kingdom, vegetable kingdom. Natural sensitivity is prana. Natural neurological response in the animals and the human is prana. Natural neurological response. Which means that if the hand comes down on a hot plate, even before you know what happened, you have withdrawn the hand. If you happen to touch something which is either too hot or too cold, the hand pulls away. That is a tremendously simple, natural neurological response. That is also the effect of prana, not the other kind of funny fear. I was attacked by somebody when I was walking in the bush, and therefore I am afraid of all bushes, or I am afraid of all human beings. That is not a natural neurological response. If she gets up and grabs me by the throat, the natural neurological response will throw her out. But it is not natural neurological response later to look at one with her hairstyle and run away from it. That is a perverted neurologic, a perverted psychological response. That distinction clear is. This is why in animals, one doesn't always come across the perpetuation of animosity, as in our case. If two dogs, again, not the domesticated ones, if two wild dogs fight, They probably fight for a few minutes over a bone or a piece of meat. And once that quarrel is over, it's forgotten. But you and I, never. Probably even your grandson will be fighting with my grandson. So, that sheer neurological response is also the manifestation of prana. And so one, our friend was standing on the edge of the chair. What was happening was the effect of prana, neurological response. He was not afraid. When his mind looks at it, there is a psychological perversion, and then something else happens. What you call fear takes over. But till, if that can be prevented, your feet will still throb, and that is the simplest form of neurological response, which is the function of prana. One must see all that. If one is able to distinguish, find the distinction between this natural neurological response and the perverted psychological fear, then I am able to keep this fear away and not be frightened to act naturally. Only if we understand this, we also see why some of these great saints and sages and so on, he might have had a sore on his arm, and if he pressed it, he also howled. It's a pure and simple neurological response. It has nothing to do with fear. It has nothing to do with suffering, as you and I call suffering. Yet, you know, all these are also part of some of the manifestations of prana. Right? Now, we come to the individual, and it is here that yoga has contributed tremendously. What is prana in the individual? And how do I recognize it? Because again, we have so completely forgotten the real nature of prana, the life force. And ignorantly identified prana with breathing. It's a simple psychological trick. We see a dead body, and in India they used to say its prana has gone. The prana has, life force has departed. Its life force has left that body. And you look at it, what is the difference? The first noticeable difference is that it doesn't breathe. And therefore we call this breathing life breath. Breathing is called life breath because when it stops, the fellow is dead. Prana has left him. Prana has left their body. And I look at it, I can only see this. I don't know what else has left that body. I can only see this, that breathing has stopped. And so I have come to associate breathing with prana. It is quite a simple equation. But prana is not just breathing. Prana is what enables every cell of your being to live and to function. And the yogis looked at the functions of this prana rather closely. And in accordance with the several functions that a single prana performs, they classified it into these five. Prana, apana, samana, udana and vyana. What are the functions of these five? Prana. The function of prana is to breathe in and out. The function of breathing in and out is considered the function of prana. Elsewhere you might also see, you might also... No, it's coming next. What is the function of apana? The function of apana is excretion. Excretion is the function of apana. Now, what is excretion? Excretion of what? Not only the feces and the urine and so on, but all manner of excretion. And so, to the extent that the exhaled breath carries some sort of excretion with it, there the function of apana is involved. I am bringing that to your attention because these divisions should not be taken literally, sort of cut and dried. This is it, this is it. The whole thing is prana, but this prana has different functions. And in accordance with those functions, we give it a different name, just for identification.
Apana vayo karmaitat vinmutradi visarjanam.
Samana is that which enables assimilation to take place. Nourishment and assimilation. So that it is the carrier of nourishment to the various cells of the body. Udana means to lift up, and it is said that Udana is that force which enables you to walk. It is I hope you appreciate that these yogis are supposed to have been terribly unscientific and superstitious and silly people who had no scientific knowledge at all. They realized that the gravity of the earth pulls you down all the time, and they must have questioned how then are you able to walk. What is the difference between you and a stone? If the earth's force of gravity pulls you down, pins you there, that's it, you stand there like a tree. How are you able to walk? It is the udana that enables you to tear your foot away from the floor and advance. Beautiful. And Vyana means, literally means pervading, pervasive, all pervading. And it is Vyana that enables the blood to be circulated and the energy which is to be circulated throughout the body.
This is also, can this be psychological too?
The
force that would circulate thoughts?